My dear brother bishops, brother priests, brother deacons, fellow religious, beloved seminarians preparing for the priesthood, members of the families of those to be ordained, special visitors, I'd like to, in a very special way, welcome the deaf community who's with us today. They're not always here, so I'm delighted they're here today. And I'm grateful to Sister Kathleen for helping me to translate my homily and our other parts of the celebration. And dearly beloved sisters and brothers in Christ. I talk to my sister almost every Saturday morning, and when I told her that I was going to be ordaining three priests at our cathedral this morning, she gave me a piece of advice that I think would be very pleasing to all of you. She said, as she hung up the phone, "Keep it short." I don't always listen to my sister, and I may not do that today. But that moment reminded me of the most important moment in the life of our Christian formation, and that's a moment with our families. So as we prepare for the ordination of these three men, on the part of the church, I'd like to express my gratitude to their families, to their mothers and fathers, first of all, but also brothers and sisters, to their grandparents and ancestors that go back into history, who are not with us today, the family of their friends, their friendships, the families of the parishes where they have served as deacons and in their years of preparation as seminarians. All of you who've played a role in the life of the formation of these young men outside our seminary, I'd like to express my deepest gratitude. The Lord has used you for things beyond your imagination and beyond your knowing. And these men are here today because of your love and your service to them. Bishop Senior, I'm also deeply grateful to you and to the members of the seminary faculty administration who do the hard work of the daily formation of our seminarians. You're lucky to be right in front of them as we prepare for their ordination this morning. See the good work that you've done. We're deeply grateful to you and to their teachers and formators for the special work of formation of our seminarians. And also I'd like to express my gratitude to our brother priests gathered with us today. When someone is ordained to the priesthood, they're ordained into a presbyterate, a group of men who love the Lord together in the service of God's people. As we ordain them, we also entrust them to your care. They're leaving the seedbed of the seminary, that's what the word seminary means, and they enter into the presbyterate. And the work of formation, which was begun in their families, continued in the seminary, now is entrusted to our priests as part of your relationship in the presbyterate. Be good examples, give them advice, and love them into fidelity to their vocations. We turn now to the scripture readings. The Easter season is coming to an end. For 50 days, we've been celebrating the resurrection of the Lord. And tonight, we approach the vigil of Pentecost. The first reading today is from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, which is the source of first readings during the Easter season. And it gives us a moment in the history of the early church that helps us to understand the meaning of their ordination. In the book for the ordination of deacons, priests, and bishops, there are suggested homilies for the bishop to give. That's very unusual. We're usually left on our own to prepare the homilies. They're beautiful homilies, actually. When Pope Francis ordained his first group of priests for the Diocese of Rome this spring, he actually read the homily from the book of the ordinations. But I'm not going to do that this morning, because the Acts of the Apostles and the other readings which the Lord gives us as our scripture are clear instructions for them and for us on the meaning of the priesthood and the meaning of ordination. As I said, today's first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. And in this reading, we have St. Paul's farewell address to the people of Ephesus, which is one of the churches that he founded and a community of people which he loved very much. This is an unusual passage because in the Acts of the Apostles, this is the only time that St. Paul addresses in a homily form a Christian community. He gives other sermons to the Jewish people or to pagans, but this is the only recorded homily of St. Paul to the church in the Acts of the Apostles. And part of this homily is addressed to those who serve the community as presbyters. It's translated as elders in today's reading, and episcopoi, the overseers of the church, who eventually became known as our priests and our bishops. And this is the message he gave to them and gives to you and to my brother priests and bishops at our ordination this morning. St. Paul says, "Keep watch over yourselves and the whole flock of which the Holy Spirit has anointed you to oversee." Keep watch. St. Paul calls us to be a vigilant church. But the point of first vigilance is ourselves, my dear deacons and my dear brother priests. We have the care of the church in our hands, but the beginning point of that care is vigilance of ourselves, of our own commitment to the Lord, of our own fidelity to the gospel. And if we are vigilant in observing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ by our lives, we will be eloquent in the sharing of that good news with the others to whom the Lord sends us. Your formation isn't done. It's entrusted, as I said earlier, to the body of priests, the presbyterate. But the Holy Spirit entrusts your formation, my dear deacons, primarily to yourselves. Your attentiveness, your vigilance to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your lives, and your vigilance that you are faithful to all the things you've been taught through these years, to the discipline of Christian life learned in our families and in the seminary. And if you are vigilant, the Lord will make you eloquent. St. Paul tells us that the care of the flock of Christ, which is his church, has been given to us by the Holy Spirit, reminding us that our vocations are not of our own choosing, although the Lord depends on our free will and our cooperation. But your vocations to be priests now, after today's celebration, is a gift and choice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes forcefully into the church and sends us out forcefully for the proclamation of the gospel. Our prayer for you as we gather for this ordination is that the power of the Holy Spirit will be experienced in your words, in your lives, and in your ministry to the church. St. Paul goes on to say to the presbyters and episcopoi of the Church of Ephesus, "Tend the church of God that he acquired with his own blood." The church of God, acquired through the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, a costly and precious gift, acquired by God and given to your care. St. Paul uses the word tend the church of God. The word tend is short for attend to, which comes from the Latin word tendere, which means to stretch. A To care for the church of God means to stretch yourself more and more, time and time again, in love and service. Yours is a generous vocation, one that requires continual stretching beyond the boundaries of your own strength, beyond the boundaries of the ordinary way of doing things. But it's an exciting mission and service because it's given by the Holy Spirit. St. Paul goes on to say, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come among you, and they will not spare the flock. And from your own group, men will come forward perverting the truth. Sobering words on a day of ordination and a day of great joy. In the early church, the word wolf was a cipher or a symbolic word for heretics, those who were not faithful to the teachings of the gospel. And St. Paul warns the community of presbyters here that wolves will come forth not just from the world around us, but as St. Paul says, from among your own group. We don't know if he meant from the lay faithful of the community of Ephesus or even from the brother presbyters of the community chosen to tend the flock of God. But attentiveness and vigilance, which is so much a part of what St. Paul speaks about in today's first reading, is attentiveness to the truth of the gospel and faithfulness to the gift of faith which has been handed on to the church. And each of us should cling to that because it was purchased for us through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And my dear brother priest, it's so important that not only the bishops of the church, but the priests of the church be overseers of the truth of the gospel. And we should fear ever being among that group that would be considered wolves rather than servants of the people entrusted, the flock entrusted to the care of priests. Finally, in today's gospel, St. Paul tells us, I commend you to God and to that gracious word of his that can build you up. You know, ordinarily we think that the word of God is entrusted to us for the preaching of the gospel. But St. Paul says the opposite, vice versa of what we ordinarily think. He entrusts us to the word of God, to be enveloped by the word of God, to be consumed by the word of God, so that our whole lives might be given to the preaching of the gospel. And that's what the people of God long for from you as the sacramental presence of Jesus Christ in their lives. They want you to be consumed by the word of God so that they might hear that word of God convincingly from your lips as you lead them more deeply into the mystery of Christ's love and life. Preach the word of God, but learn the word of God and love the word of God so that your preaching might be truly an echo of the voice of Christ. Today's second reading is from the letter of St. Paul, second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And this passage begins with a phrase that is difficult to interpret. St. Paul says, brothers and sisters, the love of Christ impels us. Now that might not sound difficult to interpret, but what does it mean? Does it mean that our love for Christ drives us? Or does it mean Christ's love for us drives us? We don't really know what St. Paul meant. But I'd like to think he meant that we as priests are called to love in the same kind of self-giving, sacrificial way that Jesus loved, to the point of giving himself in sacrifice for us on the cross. The example of Christ sacrificing love drives everything that we do as priests. Someone once said that we should learn from how Jesus died how to live. And I think that's true about all Christians, but in a uniquely true way about those who serve the church as priests. As Christ gave himself to the point of dying for us, we are called to live in that fashion in order to help people immerse themselves into the mystery of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And St. Paul tells us that if we do this, we become a new creation. He says, "So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." And all of this is from God. We are reminded in the ordination of priests of the reality of sacramental change in the lives of Christians. My dear brothers and sisters, when you were baptized, it wasn't a simple ceremony of recognizing that God had something to do with your life. Baptism, from the Catholic perspective, is immersion into the mystery of Jesus' life and death and resurrection in such a way that we come out of the waters of baptism something new, a part of the new creation that God desires to make in the world. The sacraments change us. Today, my brother deacons, as you are immersed into the mystery of Jesus' death and resurrection in the sacrament of holy orders, you also are changed. Something happens to you. You become part of the new creation, and your lives are changed. You are configured into the mystery of Jesus Christ, so that for all of us in the church, you become signs of the presence of the risen Lord. It is from you that we receive the new life of baptism. It is from you that we receive the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood. It is from you that the Lord gives us the forgiveness of our sins in the sacrament of penance. You are changed. And always remember that all of this is from God, not your doing at all. I mean, your generosity is a wonderful thing, and we thank God, and we thank you for that generosity. But it pales next to the generosity of God, because everything that we do, all the good that we accomplish, has its origin from the Lord God who loves us. And the Lord calls you to be priests, to be ministers of reconciliation. What's wrong with the world is a lack of reconciliation. We're not reconciled to our parents, to our children, to our husband, to our wives. Nations are not reconciled to one another. There's hatred and there's war in the world. Even within our own selves, we sense disorder, a lack of reconciliation of ourselves with God and with our brothers and sisters, with our fellow human beings. And God uses his church, all of us in the church community, but uniquely the priests of the church, to be ministers of reconciliation, setting things right between ourselves and God and ourselves and one another, and then setting things right in the world. God, in his love, has entrusted that to all of us, but uniquely to priests who call us to conversion, to reconciliation, and who celebrate that mercy and forgiveness of God in the sacrament of God's forgiveness, the sacrament of confession, of reconciliation. He uses us to reestablish a close relationship with himself, which is what reconciliation is all about. So, my dear brothers, when you go forth from this day, as St. Paul says, be ambassadors of Christ, as if God were appealing through you. On behalf of Christ, implore your brothers and sisters to be reconciled with God. So you see, I haven't been faithful to my sister's instruction this morning. And I still have to talk briefly about today's gospel. At the beginning of today's gospel, we're told that Jesus was giving an answer to Andrew and Philip. But to understand the answer, we have to understand what the question was. Some Greeks came to Philip because he had a Greek name. They wanted to get to know Jesus. And the question they brought to Philip is, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." And Philip went to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went to Jesus. And they asked him, "There are some Greeks here who want to see you." And it's to that question, or that statement, that Jesus gives this answer. Jesus says, "Amen, amen. This is true. This is true. I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." Doesn't seem like an answer to the question, does it? Unless we know that to see Jesus' sacrifice, his falling to the earth and dying, his sacrifice on the cross, and his resurrection, it's in seeing that that we truly see Jesus, and we see what Jesus is about. Jesus is always about death and resurrection, dying to our sins, dying to our selfishness, rising to new life. And that's what we need to see in Jesus. And that's Jesus' word to you, my dear brothers, on this day of your ordination. Priests are most closely associated with all things in our lives with the celebration of the Eucharist, bread made of wheat. And so these words of Jesus are, in some sense, about the Eucharist. Now, it's in celebrating the Eucharist that we are invited, priests and people together, to die to ourselves and join ourselves to the death and rising of Jesus Christ. And if you do this, if you join yourselves, your lives, every moment of your lives as a Christian and a priest to Jesus in his sacrificial self-giving to the Father, you will be the source of God's grace in the life of the church. The more you identify with the mystery of the Eucharist that you lead us in celebrating, the more Christ will be able to use you to speak clearly to his people and to your brother priests. St. Paul tells us, Jesus tells us rather in this gospel passage, "Whoever serves me must follow me." We must follow him on the way to the cross if we wish to serve him. He says, "Where I am, there will also my servant be." And you want to be servants of Jesus of Christ. And where he is in this mystery of the Eucharist, in this mystery of giving himself to God the Father and giving himself for us. And Jesus tells us here that if we do this, the Father will honor us. He says, "The Father will honor whoever serves me." You know, to be a priest is a great honor. Now, people here are going to treat you differently today than they did an hour ago, and you're going to be astonished at how quickly they see in you the presence of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's rather shocking and somewhat disturbing because you feel the same, perhaps. I think you'll feel the same anyway. At least I did, and I think most of my brother priests did. But you are different, and the people will sense this, and they will honor you. And then you'll be Father. You'll be respected. Maybe the Lord will make you a bishop, and they'll kiss your hand, you know? And they'll honor you all the more. And maybe one of you will be the Pope someday. Who knows in today's changing world what will happen? But Jesus tells us in today's gospel that the only honor that counts and the honor that the Father honored him for and will honor us for is our walking the path of Jesus in self-sacrificing love. That's the only thing that gives glory to the Father, and that should be the only thing that gives glory to you, to us, my dear brother priest, my dear brother bishops. That's the true honor, to be like Jesus Christ as we give ourselves to the Father for his people. What a wonderful privilege you have to share the priesthood of Jesus Christ. May the church be worthy of the gift. May your brother priests be worthy of receiving you as brothers. And may you be constant in your faithfulness so that when all comes to completion in the mystery of God, the Father will honor you in his Son, Jesus Christ. To him be glory and praise now and forever. Amen.